Welcome back as we conclude our examination of the scripture readings for the season of Advent. Today we look at the readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent, December 22nd. At this time, I invite you to take your Bible and read from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 to 14. Last week, we looked at Isaiah chapter 35, but today we move to chapter 7, a section explaining the reasons for Israel's fall, with the lesson of what happens when one does not trust in God. Ahaz is considered one of the worst kings in Judah's history. Judah was the southern portion of the Holy Land. Ahaz would not enter into an agreement with Syria and Israel, the northern portion of the Holy Land, to fight against the Assyrian army. And this was causing Syria and Israel to attack Judah for their lack of following. In verse 10, the Lord says, "Go ahead, ask me for a sign, and I will show you that you can trust me. Make that sign as outlandish as possible, and I will provide it to prove to you that you can come to me." But in verse 12, Ahaz declares, "I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord." Now, it appears on the surface that Ahaz is being righteous, not wanting to bother God. But the real lesson here, that is, instead of trusting God, he would rather trust in earthly power and military might. But then in verse 14, God is basically saying, "Too bad, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel," a Hebrew word meaning God is with us. The lesson for us this week, we can make all the excuses we want as to why we won't do God's will. On the surface, these reasons may sound good to us, but it is what is inside of us that matters. What is our real motive? In the end, God will prevail. Our second reading today comes from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. I invite you to turn to chapter 1 and read the first 7 verses. After reading last week from the letter of James, today we return to Paul's letter to the Romans as we did the first 2 weeks. But now we look at the very beginning of the letter. Epistles or letters at that time followed a strict format. You began by telling who the letter was written by, to whom is it being sent, you give a short thanks for what they have done for you, and then you get into the meat of the letter, why you're writing it. This letter breaks the usual format. It expands upon the "from whom" section. Paul is telling the Roman community why he feels qualified to write about his theology, what he knows of God. Paul is the Roman name for the Hebrew name Saul. It's interesting when reading the Acts of the Apostles that prior to the conversion of Saul in chapter 9, as he is traveling to Damascus to put in chains the followers of Jesus, the text always refers to him as Saul. But once he is converted, that same man now is called Paul. This shows that the message Paul is preaching is for all people, not just a select few. In verse 1, he calls himself a slave, not in the submissive sense, but to show that now his entire life is dedicated to Jesus and his message. He is a slave called to be an apostle, a messenger of the gospel. Not to boast, but to show that this is not his message, but Jesus's that he is preaching. The Roman world would know of Paul's past life, how he persecuted those who followed the very one he is now preaching about. Why should they believe him? And Paul is setting out to explain why they should believe him, how this message of Jesus has overtaken his entire life. In verse 3, we read of the gospel of God's Son. With over 60 references in this letter to the Old Testament, Paul shows that he knows well the Old Testament, and he is going to prove to the Roman community that what was promised of old is now being fulfilled in the person of Jesus. Our gospel for the fourth Sunday comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. With this fourth Sunday of Advent, we read Matthew's version of the Nativity story, a passage that will be read again in 2 days' time at the Christmas Vigil Mass. An option for that Christmas Vigil is to include the first 17 verses, which is the genealogy of Jesus, to prove his credentials. In verse 18, we read that Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together. This betrothal period was a time between the covenant of marriage being made and when they actually lived together. This period could last up to 1 year, and during this time, that couple was considered legally married, which is why Joseph, being of a high moral character, decides to divorce her when he finds out that she is carrying a child. In verse 20, there is urgency in the angel's command, "Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home." Joseph is a descendant of David's family, and it is through Joseph that Jesus will receive the rights of inheritance. In verse 21, the name to be given him, Jesus, is derived from a popular Jewish name, Yeshua, which means to deliver, a cry for help. And the angel also declares he will save his people from their sins. Again, this is a reminder that Jesus will not fit the image of the expected military or political Messiah, but the spiritual Savior of his people, for he is to redeem them from their sins. Verse 22, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," repeats again the prophecy of Isaiah made so many years ago. Emmanuel is not a personal name, but rather an account of his origin and naming, his role in bringing God's presence to humankind. Just as the word bishop is used, bishop is not a name, but it is a title, an account of what he is to do with himself. And so it is with the word Emmanuel. With these 4 weeks of Advent, we've heard of the message of Matthew's Gospel to stay awake, and we've read in the Old Testament and New Testament about the importance of staying alert. Our hearts should be prepared to celebrate the remembrance of Jesus' first coming all those years ago. Our hearts should be prepared to celebrate that he is still incarnate in our world through our reception of the Eucharist. And we should celebrate his return in glory at the end of time. This is Deacon Mike reminding you to live the Word. Merry Christmas, and may you have a blessed and joyous New Year.